This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. It's going to be a good podcast today. Stu said about halfway through off the air, this might be one of those shows that you shouldn't have done. I don't know why. Just being honest.
There seems to be a combination of Glenn having some stress, some pain from his back, some drugs in his system.
No, that just combined.
It all combines.
No drugs in my system.
No, I think there's some.
It is truth, baby. It is truth. And we bring it to you today on multiple topics. You don't want to miss it. On the border, on the infrastructure bill. Oh, and that beautiful. I got a vaccination. For COVID today.
A special kind of vaccination.
A special kind of vaccine. An injection, really, of love for Brian Stelter, the George Costanza of television. And I apologize to George Costanza because, in comparison, he was likable. But we have all kinds of stuff, including Ted Cruz on with us. And Jason Whitlock weighs in on what's happening with BLM and Minnesota. Don't want to miss a second.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The federal government is getting it done for you. This is
great. Federal?
This is federal. Yeah, this is federal. Chuck Schumer announced this yesterday. Ocasio-Cortez is very, very excited. If you lost a loved one because of COVID, if it's on the death certificate that it was a COVID-related death, you can get $9,000 per individual death and up to $38,000 for individual applications. So let's say, you have your family in a car and, they were on their way to the hospital and they all had COVID. You can get them all covered now. $9,000 for funeral expenses. Now, we've been doing this, for a little while now, but it's been really kind of tough, according to Ocasio-Cortez. So they are now they're making it a little easier. The death certificate must indicate the death may have been caused by or was likely the result of COVID-19. And if the death certificate doesn't say that now, you can go to your physician or the hospital or anybody else and have them alter the death certificate to add in it may have been COVID. Now, FEMA says that, the death must have occurred in the United States, including U.S. territories, District of Columbia. Death certificate must indicate the death was attributed to COVID-19 or may have been, and the applicant has to be a U.S. citizen or a non-citizen national or a qualified non-citizen who incurred funeral expenses after January 2020. Now, the deceased individual doesn't have to be a U.S. citizen or non-citizen national or non-qualified non-citizen. I don't even know what those categories are. This is, according to Ocasio-Cortez, will be the first to allow mixed status and undocumented families to get some relief.
So this is not like green cards. Like, as you're saying, a qualified non-citizen, like you might say, okay, well, someone who's, like, if you're visiting on a student visa.
Well, no. That's what FEMA is saying. Okay. But they're now working through the rules with FEMA to make them a little easier. Because there's a lot of undocumented people, non-citizens, here.
Well, that's true. But I just don't know if that's a good thing to be passing laws on. You're not here legally, but we're going to give you $9,000.
Right. We're going to give you $9,000 if somebody that you know died and it may have been caused by COVID.
I mean, look, I
I mean, honestly,
you, look,
when I first read that story, yeah. we just had a tragic, tragic death in our family. And I'm like, it may have been caused by COVID.
I, you know, look, I've there's been a lot of depression issues associated right? with this. You know, you could go through that. I mean, look, there, especially early on, I mean, when we didn't have testing, a lot of people who died of COVID did not have tests that would, you know, guarantee that it was about that, but they had all the symptoms that we found out later were associated. There's some sense to that, but of course they're going to go way overboard and they're going to spend millions and millions of dollars that we don't have because, you know, this is what they do.
Well, not millions and millions, just billions, just 1.9 billion.
Just the 1.9 billion?
Just the 1.9 billion.
Why do we even report on anything that doesn't have a T at the beginning
right?
of it at this point?
Right. I mean, what's 1.9? That's not even $2 billion. I mean,
come on.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to tell you a quick story about Grace Life Church up in Canada. It's a normal church. It's this really, really great church, I think. I've watched the pastor. I even tweeted one of his sermons from, Sunday or Monday. And he just is a servant. And when they said, you can't hold services anymore, he said, I can't. This is what God has told me to do, and that is to preach the good word to anybody that wants to hear it. So I will be there. If people don't want to come, that's fine, but I will be there. Well, they didn't like that. You can't decide these things on your own. So they put him in a maximum security prison or jail up in Canada for 34 days. He was in isolation for, I think, a week of that. Just because he wouldn't stop preaching on Sunday. So when he got out, he went back to preaching again. He will not give in. You want to talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer? Here he is. Here's play cut one. Here are the church elders asking police not to interrupt the service. Listen to this.
Code 176 makes it illegal for you to interrupt a worship service, and our worship service has begun, and we're stating that to you very clearly, that your presence in this building will be interrupting our worship service.
How so?
Because your presence intimidates our people.
That's your perception.
Okay, so now here comes all these police, all dressed in black. It's a SWAT team, really. They come in and they say, oh, well, that's your opinion that we're intimidating. Yeah, you put our pastor in prison. Yeah, I think it's intimidating. So then they start to put, cut to, a police fence around the church. And if you're watching The Blaze, you can see it. They put this giant fence all around the church. And then later in the day, the church members, they leave. But protesters who are not members of the church, they live in the community. They're pissed off about this. And they come to try to take the fence down. At this point, people that were with the church come out and say, please, please don't do this. We're just going to find another place. A church is inside each of us. It's not a building. We'll find another place. And they did. The sermon that they gave, I think, yesterday... is it Tuesday today? No, it's Tuesday. I think it was yesterday. It may have been Sunday at a different place. They actually blurred the faces of all of the people in the congregation. That's how afraid this congregation is. I mean, I shouldn't say that. It's how strong this congregation is.
That's their perception though, Glenn.
Yeah,
their perception.
Yeah, I know. So that's when they were saying, no, don't. Church is just a place within. It's not a building. That's when the armed troops, the SWAT team, is sent in, cut five. This is Canadian Mounties. I always thought that they looked nice, but these guys look like SWAT team members. They came in to make sure that... they showed you know, they flex their muscles and show that they are not going to, they're not taking this lightly. All right. So yesterday we were talking to Ezra Levant. He's the founder of Rebel News. He's the host of the Ezra Levant Show. He is a really good guy, a friend of freedom all around the world. And he runs Rebel News up in Canada, which is like very much like The Blaze. It is a little more activist than The Blaze is. We're not activists. Mercury One does charity work. But I actually like what they do up at Rebel News. And he told me yesterday something that I have a hard time believing, but we have the video now to prove it. And I want to have him take us through all of these video clips where the police are harassing his reporters and have taken one of them and threw him in jail. Ezra, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. I want to let you know that Canadian media, with one exception, have ignored the insane attack on our journalists, the warrantless searches and seizures, the jailing of our journalists. American media are interested because you still care about the First Amendment.
No.
You still have freedom in your DNA. And I want to let you know that what we're going to talk about and what you're going to see, it is your future if you do not protect your First Amendment. If you do not hold those hard-won freedoms, you will be like what we are.
This is something that every American should be involved in and helping and spreading the news. All right, so let's go here. This is cut six. Police make anti-Jewish remarks. Listen to this.
This is like, we're documenting what's happening here, guys.
I know, Yankee. You're friendly.
So why are we getting such a tough time? We've been through this so many times with you guys.
He says something in French.
I'm giving you my papers, no problem. Just.
Okay.
What?
Oh my gosh.
Who are you, sir?
I'm with Rebel News. I'm not media Jewish. Who are you? What's your name? And badge number. Can you give me your name and badge number? Can you give me your name and badge number? You're supposed to give it to me.
So, Ezra, they're speaking French. What are they saying? This is multiple times this was said in multiple different scenes.
Yeah. We've had problems in Toronto and Montreal. The clip you showed, in Montreal, obviously, the dominant language is French. We have a reporter there who happens to be Jewish. And he would go out and report on the lockdown because Montreal has an 8 p.m. curfew, if you can believe it. Everyone, sick or healthy, innocent or guilty, adult or child, must be off the streets at 8. So Yankee is the name of our guy out there. He goes out with his camera. He has an exemption under the law. He reports on the police, and they start harassing him. They've given him thousands of dollars in tickets, even though he's exempt, and they start calling him Jew media. You're the Jew. You're the Jew. And I think, well, maybe there's a problem in translation, but then that's what they say to all our people, even those who are not Jewish. We sent more and more reporters there because we realized there's a big problem there, and they started to arrest our reporters, handcuff our reporters, slam them up against vans. I think your next clip shows this.
This is Rebel News reporters arrested. Clip seven, please. Okay, I see the police going out. Yeah, they come right in for one guy. It's like a big Antifa kind of thing or something. It doesn't look violent, but some kind of protest. He identifies as media, and they don't care.
I'm not in a crowd. I'm not in a crowd of 20, though.
Okay, look.
My colleague is detained. I have to stay.
Let's go.
I'm on public property.
No, man, put your mask on.
I'm not in a group of 20, though.
Hey, do I sit on the wall? Hey.
I'm not in a group of 20, what?
Keep walking. You want a ticket or not?
That's fine.
Okay, but go. Keep walking.
Okay, so tell me what.
Stay on the sidewalk.
Let's go. Sure. That's a peaceful anti-lockdown protest. That's in Montreal.
Okay.
They have such a heavy lockdown. So it was a peaceful protest. There was no violence. You may have seen people wearing masks in the crowd, but that's because it's mandated to wear a mask there. But our reporters were pulled out of the crowd and arrested, handcuffed, slammed against the van because they had cameras pointed at the police. And you saw that one fella in the toque, the hat, who was on the sidewalk doing absolutely nothing, but because he was filming, they pulled him in, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of tickets, manhandling them. So this weekend, we said, that's enough. We're going to send half our team. So we sent 17 reporters and other staff from our head office to Montreal. We rented an Airbnb for the whole team, and we did something important. Let me just mention it quickly. We hired 3 Montreal-based lawyers to brief our team on the laws, because Montreal's a little different. The language is a little different. So we had a one-hour briefing with all our staff. Here's the do's and don'ts. What are the mask laws? What are the gathering laws? So we were completely briefed, and we went one step further. As we went out into the streets, Glenn, we had a top Quebec francophone criminal lawyer walk with us. We literally had our criminal lawyer with us to observe, to give us guidance. And in case there was any bad interactions with police, we didn't have to phone him. He was an arm's length away. So we did that on Friday night in Montreal. It was very successful. We engaged with police, but there were no harassment of us. Maybe it's because we had lawyers with us. So Saturday morning, we wake up. We're having breakfast in our Airbnb, a completely legal Airbnb. It happened to be a houseboat tied up at the pier, which is sort of cool, but it's just an Airbnb. And then all of a sudden, police come to the front gate of the houseboat and say, let us in.
Okay, so now here's Ezra and his team on board this houseboat, if you will, that they had rented, an Airbnb, and the police show up and try to get onto the boat without a warrant. Here's this audio and video.
Any responsible on that boat? Is there any responsible on that boat? Nobody? If nobody is responsible for that boat, I have the right to come in the premises. I need somebody to be responsible for the boat. I don't.
Yeah, you have him over there.
Go get a warrant.
If
go get a warrant. Get a warrant. Yes, I have a right to be here. Go get a warrant now. Go get a warrant. You're not going to get in without a warrant.
Ezra, what was happening? Why did they show up?
They claimed it was an illegal gathering. It's just a B&B. You can see I was already, you can see the gate. So I had already told them to get a warrant. And I went out there, and then you could see I was out there in the gray T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
They would not let me back in. They detained me, which is the same as being arrested. They were physically holding me. They wouldn't, and I already had told them to get a warrant. So now that I was out of the way, they went to my younger staff and said, let me in, let me in. As you can see, my staff are pretty smart. So they know to say, get a warrant. But it turned into a 10-hour standoff. They couldn't find a judge willing to give them a search warrant. So to punish us, they called the whole thing a crime scene. They actually wouldn't let any of my team off the boat unless they submitted to a personal search, which is illegal. And the craziest part is they arrested one of my guys, took him to jail, and they said this to us. They said, we will hold him in jail until you let us search the Airbnb without a warrant. So they were...
What?
I mean, obviously, if my guy did something wrong, charge my guy. That's its own matter. Why are you arresting him and then trying to use it as a poker chip to bargain with me to get an illegal search? We held the line. After 10 hours, they just went away. But not before really bizarre tactics. I think you have one more clip if you got time for it.
I have police
pushing us away. Yeah.
Back up the ramp. Here we go. Police gets cut 10.
Hey. Watch your hands, I told you.
Crooked cop, I know you. You crooked cop.
That's it. You're doing good work.
Oh, so are you. You feel good?
You're a disgrace. That's why you hide your face.
Who's the one who called us Jew media?
You call us Jew media. I am a Jew.
I kill.
I am a Jew media. I will see you in court.
I kill. You realize what's going to happen when they turn against you?
They called us Jew media. These crooked bigots, when they came to our reporters, they called us Jew media. They asked if we were Jews. They're anti-Semitic, crooked, and corrupt. Shame on them, these wicked men and women.
Move. All right. Let's go.
So, Ezra, we're seeing...
I was mad. I was mad, Glenn. And when you have a team of 20, 30 cops, and by the way, look at that, 100 people gathered, and they were hurling even worse insults to the cops. I think the cops are despised in Montreal by the left and the right. It is widely known as the most corrupt police force in Canada. Someone said, are you filming a movie? Why are there 50 police here? They couldn't believe it was just because we had a houseboat. I don't think that anti-Semitism is their primary motivation.
No.
Because really, I was Jewish. But we have Muslim team members, Christian team members. They just hate the fact that we were pointing a camera at what they were doing. And what can we do? They had the guns. They had handcuffs. They were pushing us. All I could do was express my outrage. We will sue them, Glenn. I was very mad in the moment, and I remain very mad now. Not at the individuals themselves so much, but at the fact that justice is falling, and I can see it in my eyes. Warrantless illegal searches, harassing our people, falsely declaring things crime scenes, extorting us to let us on the boat or they won't let our guy out of jail, pushing us around. And yeah, the Jew media part is the icing on the cake. But this is deeply troubling to me, and it's a trend I see across the Canada, Toronto, Montreal, Edmonton, and Canadians are asleep.
Thank you so much, Ezra, for everything that you do. You have our backing here. You have my complete support on this, anything that you need. But I suggest, America, you begin to tweet this story and tell this story. It must be heard. Americans must stand.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Jason Whitlock, a freelance journalist. He's a sports journalist who does a lot more than just sports, is really talking about culture. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Glenn.
It's good to have you here.
Listening to you talk about real estate, I'm wondering, are you advising the Black Lives Matter founder?
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. She's making a lot of money, and the whole organizations making a lot of money.
It's not going to the people, for sure. It's not going to the people.
She's how a do capitalist.
They, how do they? No. She's a trained Marxist.
I know.
Yeah. How do they sleep at night? Honestly, do they just not think they're going to be held accountable? Do they not care? What is happening?
Oh, I think they sleep real easy at night because they have so much support from big tech and the social media apps and the corporate media that she doesn't feel she's owed this. She created a hashtag. She created a hashtag, and of course you should have four homes across the country, you know, for $3 or $4 million. Glenn, have you ever created a hashtag? I mean, seriously.
No, I don't think I did, but it didn't have the social media platforms. I mean, we know now from Twitter and employees that were working at Twitter at the time that were so disgusted by what happened. BLM was not trending during the early days of the first riots. It did not trend. And Twitter began to get heat from the left. And so they changed the algorithm and moved that thing up so it was trending in the nation. So then people would go, oh, well, it's trending. It must be a big deal. That was total
not people,
astroturf.
But the corporate media. Again, yeah. Twitter is the justification for the corporate media to justify the narratives, the false narratives. It's over Twitter. Are you kidding me? It must be true. Black men must
about.
Be getting assassinated at record pace because Twitter says so. So us as the New York Times, us as NBC, CBS, we have to reflect the reality of Twitter and Facebook.
It is becoming, the media has always been skewed, But it is with this stuff about the Jim Crow laws. I mean, if I were black and my family had gone through what blacks went through in this country under Jim Crow laws, I would be so pissed off. You're kidding me, right? You think this is Jim Crow?
Look, the left, corporate media created Donald Trump as Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so once you create Donald Trump as Satan, it justifies almost anything. And he's the bad guy. And anything that the media can say, well, Donald Trump doesn't like this. We have been bamboozled, convinced, brainwashed into believing that anything that attacks Donald Trump is good. And this thing is so organized. It's one of the greatest capers
it is
in the history of mankind.
It's brilliant.
And Glenn, it's satanic. Mm-hmm. Is what it is. And that's a big, powerful word. But it's the truth. And I'm about to let the Black Lives Matter, what's her name, Patrice Khan Colors, yeah. I'm going to let them off the hook a little bit. Because I really think the error is with us. Those of us, and again, I'm a journalist. I'm a sports journalist. I'm a sinner. But I'm also just a follower of truth, a follower of Christ. I believe those of us as Christians, we have let this country down.
Oh, yeah.
And it starts with us in the mirror. And again, it starts with us understanding American history and why we became so great. And we've abandoned those, our Christian identity. And we've leaned into political identities and all race identities and blah, blah, blah. But here's where I'm going to let Patricia Cullors and a group that I call the Alphabet Mafia, LGBTQ BLM. It's the Alphabet Mafia. And they are in control. And it's our fault. They are angry. They don't like the way they've been treated in America. And here's why. And I've had to deal with this as a Christian myself, is because we set their sin aside as a special level of sin. Their alternative lifestyle, sexuality, that's the worst sexuality sin you can commit. And it's made people like me comfortable with my sexuality sins. Mm-hmm. In terms of, Jake, yeah. If you're gay, you were met with a lot of scorn and like, oh my God, what an abomination.
Right.
You're in rebellion to God. But a guy like me, and this, I'm not letting myself off the hook, I can go out to Vegas, get liquored up, go to a strip club, have a stripper proposition me.
Yeah.
And boom, bada bing, bada boom. And I can walk out and no one's mad at me. There's no scorn. And I can sit around and think, well, my sin isn't as bad as their sin.
Oh, I'm always amazed at some of the most religious communities have some of the biggest strip clubs in them. I mean, it's the same people. It's the same people.
Sin is just sin.
Yeah.
And as Christians, we have to accept that. And again, that's why this group, the Alphabet Mafia, is very hostile, very organized. This has been coming 50, 60 years in the making, and they have a special protection class from big tech, and the only solution, and I keep telling everybody, and I got friends of mine that have known me forever, and they knew I believed in God, but they're like, wow, Whitlock is saying things I never thought he would say, and it's all true, and I'm not running away from my sin, and all of that, but I just have a much deeper understanding of one, American history, and how our Christian values made us fearless and made us create the greatest country on earth. And it's Christ that's being attacked right now. And the group that we have castigated and said that their sin is worse than every other sin is now trying to normalize all sin. There is basically no sin. Everything is legal under the sun and normal under the sun. And we just keep lowering standards. And again, I blame us. If we were willing to acknowledge that our sin, just as bad as their sin, and we all need to understand that if we don't get back in alignment with God and Jesus,
we're done.
We're done.
We're done. We're done. I say we're done because I don't think we're going to get back to in alignment. I mean, there's a possibility, but it's got to get so bad, so bad. If you're not awake now, you're not awake. And I'm
hoping people are waking up. And again, I love the way that this Black Lives Matter real estate thing has blown up in their face, in her face. And because I think it is the kernels of the beginning of like, wow, man, this is just a hustle.
It's all hustle.
Yeah. They're not in this they're in this, again, freedom is being redefined right now, Glenn. Mm-hmm. And you can't impose socialism, communism, Marxism unless you remove Christianity from our culture. And they're doing it. And I just say, for those of us that are believers, I've been uncomfortable saying this publicly, but it's one of the main reasons I left Los Angeles, because I started realizing just like how corrupt and bankrupt I was, and that LA contributed to that. And I needed to get back to my roots. I'm a Midwest boy, and I needed to get back in, but I need to get back in God's country.
It's really interesting because I'm down in Texas, and I thought that was really good compared to New York. But now I go up to our ranch in the mountains because I'm a Mountain West guy, and I don't usually want to come back. And it's not because I don't want to do my job or anything else. It's because I feel rooted, and I feel like spiritually connected much more than here. And I don't live a bad life here. I mean, we all make mistakes, but there's just something different in I think some of these cities, and maybe it's just me, but you kind of up there, you're with farmers, and farmers ain't talking about all the crap that everybody else is talking about,
Well, the only issue though is if we keep running, they're going to overtake everything.
Oh, everything. No, everything.
And it's like I moved to Tennessee, and I feel good there, and I feel more normal, and I make better decisions. But I'm like, other people from California are coming to Tennessee.
Yeah, I know.
And they're coming to Florida.
Well, they came to Dallas, or they came to Denver, and look what happened in Denver. They're coming now.
Austin.
And that's completely has been for a while, but now it's gaining an influence because it is so powerful and big and growing every day. I met with a bunch of pastors. We had a death in the family last week, and I was with a bunch of pastors and a priest and everything else. And we were talking about the country, and I said, you know who I blame? Christians, but also you guys. The pulpits went silent. They wouldn't tie scriptures to things that were really happening. And I don't want somebody telling me who to vote for, but I do want, my pastor to say, these are the principles, and this is why these principles work. And they have to be aligned in your everyday life and everything that you do, including voting. You can't say, I agree with these principles, and then vote for people that are doing the exact opposite. You can't, or you'll get this.
It's been 3 to 4 years for my awakening and just to start telling people and for me to look at the world through God's eyes first. And once you do that, once you start saying, well, hold on, I'm going to do this, how does God feel about it? And that's when you go, well, hold on, this whole abortion issue, I know where God stands on it. How can I stand someplace different than him if I'm a believer?
Yeah.
And then so there's one group that seems to be just like, abortion's the greatest thing in the world.
Celebrate it.
And but then I'll go for many of us as Christians, we think the condom is the greatest thing in the world, not sex in a marriage. We think the condom is, and you know, you can have, and again, I'm talking about myself and why, like, I got to get out of here. I got to get someplace where I can actually, because I enjoy sex. I got to find a wife to enjoy that with.
And, we could do a contest. I don't think you'd have a hard time finding one.
And so I blame us. We haven't stuck to our values, and we've unleashed an energy into our country that we that is so blinding. People can't, because I argue with people in my family. I was like, hey, this just isn't consistent with what we believe. How can we be for it?
Yes. Jason Whitlock, sports journalist, is with us now. Let's talk a little bit about what do you think is going to happen in Minnesota?
It's connected to the point that I was making in the latest incident involving the Dante Wright. And it's very confusing for a lot of us, but it's really not confusing in terms of, again, we, as I said previously, have created degrees of sin. You know, like, oh, well, that's a special level of sin. And we've done that as it relates to sexuality. The left has now done that as it relates to violence. The worst violence is when a white police officer kills a black man. That's the worst violent sin you can commit. Black people, you can kill each other, and we won't bat an eye. It's like glass breaking in a restaurant.
Yep.
That's not really sin. That's just, you know, everybody does that. Yeah. You know, white people kill white people. Black people kill black people. Yep. It's, everybody does that. And so we've created, or they have created, as it relates to violence, degrees of sin. And so the black resisting criminal is the highest level of victimhood in America. And that says something about something terrible about our country. And it just speaks to how out of line and secular we've become, and how out of line we become with God, is that there are these special degrees of sin as it relates to violence. And so I listen to people, and again, I had the whole thing with Dante Wright being mischaracterized. Oh, the police stopped him. He got shot after a routine traffic violation. No, he got shot after resisting police and trying to jump into the car and escape after they found out he had an outstanding warrant for a gun. He had resisted police previously. And so they were on edge when they started approaching a guy and trying to handcuff him because of his history. Obviously, the female police officer made a grave, grave error. I believe her in the video that it was not her intent.
You don't believe her?
No, I do believe
her. You do believe her.
That it was not her intent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And so I think that she should probably lose her job or be confined to a desk. You can't make that kind of mistake and just let it go. But do I see criminal charges for her? I just can't. I couldn't do it. I don't believe there should be criminal charges. But as it relates, and again, I'm going to go big here again. I think for this to happen right outside Minnesota, while the Derek Chauvin, George Floyd trial is going on, I go, only thing I can say is, like, God is really upset with us. And no, I really believe it. God is really upset with us.
I believe you.
And we are being led to a point of doom because of what we've allowed.
Yeah.
This is all.
And he's not leading it. He's just withdrawing his protection. We don't deserve any protection. I mean, really, what are we doing to say, hey, you are our God, we'll be your people? We're not doing any of it. Jason Whitlock, great to have you.